I've looked very carefully at vaccines because my background is as an obstetrician and gynecologist. And one of the things that women certainly are going to be concerned about is whether or not they should give their children vaccines and how safe are the vaccines. And so part of my job was really looking at the safety and efficacy of these vaccines. And unfortunately, what I found that the CDC and the FDA were telling people and the truth of the vaccines were two different things. When I started in medicine, the rate of autism among children in the United States was about 1 in 10,000. And now the rate of autism is 1 in 100. Now, there is no way that could be a genetic problem. So it has to be an environmental problem. So the issue is, what has happened over the last 25 to 30 years to cause this epidemic of autism? And so the only thing that really has changed is the number of vaccines that are being recommended and are being given to children. So the issue is, what exactly is in those vaccines? Well, if you look at the ingredients of the vaccines, you will find that they have mercury and they have aluminum, and the vaccines are polluted with other kinds of viruses, and the vaccines are grown sometimes on human tissue. So these are vaccines that have elements that are neurotoxic, and then, of course, they have other elements that can set up autoimmune reactions. And so those are the kinds of things that we are seeing in the children. We are seeing autoimmune reactions. We are seeing an autoimmune reaction against the brain tissue. And so these children, unfortunately, even the ones who are not developing the syndrome of autism, are developing other syndromes such as ADD and ADHD. And of course, the secondary problem is the number of allergies that we're seeing in our young children. And part of the allergic reaction has to do with the fact that the immune system is not completely developed at birth. It takes about 3 years for the immune system to be developed. And so if you begin to give children vaccines, you actually set their immune system toward one part of the immune system called the humoral part, which makes more antibodies. Yet at the same time, you're suppressing their cellular immunity, which never develops completely. So the idea that we need to give children the number of vaccines that we're giving is simply a false notion. So the question I think that we have to ask ourselves, well, why is this being done? Well, for me, there are several reasons. One, it has to do with the pharmaceutical industry and the profitability of the pharmaceutical industry. Because you have a whole population of children who become captive to the pharmaceutical industry. So that's number one. Number two, there was a book written several years ago by Lily Kay called The Molecular Basis of Biology. And Lily Kay was a medical historian out of Yale, very well respected. And she looked at the medical industry and how it was developed and the philosophy that was being pursued through biology. And of course, what she understood was that the entire medical paradigm was developed, the Western allopathic paradigm was developed by people who were essentially believed in eugenics. The other issue with vaccines is this: there really is no firm evidence that vaccines do what they say they do. They say that the introduction of vaccines actually reduce the amount of infectious diseases. But if you go back to the beginning of the century, you will really see that the thing that was reducing infectious diseases was an improvement in diet, an improvement in sanitation, an improvement in education. And so the societal things, the environmental things that were improving as a result of improving economies, and that economies and that people in those economies were doing better economically, you see that the number of infectious diseases were going down. I think that the idea that we can put toxins and poisons into a perfectly healthy immune system, a bloodstream, and not expect to get complications is naive at best, and more so, it's probably quite evil. When you're going to medical school, you actually think that you're studying science, but you're studying the science that someone has decided that is appropriate for you. And the science that they consider not appropriate for you, you don't study. For example, at the beginning of the century, the Rockefeller and Carnegie Foundations took over the discipline of allopathic medicine. How did they do that? They did it through their foundations, and they were able to finance those schools and those people that would actually promote the ideas, the eugenic ideas. So most of the students who come out of medical school are not going to question that. They are simply going to say, this is what I learned, and so this is how I'm going to proceed. It must be true. And they will go to the CDC or the FDA website, and that website will repeat the things that they heard in medical school. And one of the things that I found is that most of these doctors do not go to the original literature. They don't read the literature that would really question whether or not these vaccines are safe. And there's an enormous amount of propaganda, for example, from the pharmaceutical industries. So the pharmaceutical industries have enormous amounts of money to promote their particular products, whereas the people who are promoting health benefits of a more normal or natural type have almost no money. So this is one of the problems. So now you have a group of people who've spent 4 years under these conditions, who come out of medical school, and now they're expected to be the authority, and their patients think that they are the authority, except the authority that they have is the authority that they've been given. It's almost papal in nature. And so that is basically how we get to the point where we are today. For example, you may not be able to do it in a first world country, but say you go to another country in Africa or Southeast Asia. You say, okay, this group of children has not been vaccinated, this group of children is vaccinated. What is going to be the outcome in these two children in terms of developing measles or smallpox or whatever? So that would be how you do it. But these studies have never been done, and I don't think these studies are ever going to be done. And unfortunately, the drug companies have too much invested in the whole vaccine paradigm right now. And the other big problem at this point is there are so many children that have been harmed that to back away from this paradigm at this time would be a disaster financially for these people, because somebody is going to have to account for the number of children who've been damaged. When we study cell biology, we study proteins, carbohydrates, and fats, but 80 to 90% of our body is water, and so we don't even study water. So for me, it was my own illness that really made me begin to look at the entire paradigm of allopathic medicine. And so once I did that, again, because I'm an obstetrician-gynecologist, I started looking at the vaccines that we were recommending, because at that point, many women began to say, I don't think I want to give my children these vaccines because I've heard that the vaccines cause autism. And I wasn't sure about it myself. And so that's when I really began to look at the vaccines and I began to look at the data. Well, the data was really quite alarming to me. And I felt that I needed to be able to give my patients options. I was giving my total commitment to vaccines before, and as I began to look at the data, I had to back away from it. But most doctors, unless you have a crisis in your life or you have a crisis with a patient, I think most doctors really don't examine what they're doing. I think they do what they do because they've been trained. They haven't been educated. And that is the problem with our entire so-called education system. We're not educating people to think, we're training people to do a job. Well, one of the things that I've come to realize is that we're not doing science, we're doing warfare. And warfare works on many levels. People tend to think of warfare as guns and cannons, but warfare starts out on a psychological level. And so what happens to people who step outside of the medical paradigm and start to really want to do healing? It can be quite dangerous. If you're an academician, you have status in the university, you can lose your funding, you can lose your graduate students. If you're a clinician in the community, you can have the medical society come after you. If you have a position on a university hospital or a staff, you can sometimes lose your position on the staff because the other physicians are there to make sure that you practice what they call the standard of care. So the standard of care may not have anything to do with the best care or what is scientifically valid. It has to do with what everybody else is doing. And what is so interesting about this is that I was reading about the Inquisition. Now, the Inquisition was a period in European history that lasted for about 300 years. And one of the fascinating things for me is that at least 9 million people were killed during this time for going against the teachings of the church. And most of those people who were killed were women. Many of them were midwives and herbalists, because the church believed that if you were sick, it was a sin, and therefore you needed to suffer. And of course, these women were about reducing suffering and healing people and making people feel better. And so there were 300 years of persecution of women who were healers. And today, we certainly don't have an Inquisition in terms of the church, but we still have an idea that medicine can only be done in one way. And if we don't do it that way, then we have the Inquisition. We have the Inquisition of the pharmaceutical industry. We have the Inquisition of the AMA. We have the Inquisition of the local medical societies who actually will come after physicians and try to destroy their practices or their careers. I think people need to know that vaccines are dangerous, that the idea that there's no risk to a vaccine, there's no risk currently or in the future is an idiotic notion. I think we have enough data at this point to know that vaccines can cause damage immediately or in the future, and that we need to be able to give our parents enough information to make informed choices. And I think that we need to actually stop with the vaccines at this point. Recently, the Merck and one other pharmaceutical company have been promoting a vaccine against cervical cancer. First of all, there's no proof that HPV causes cervical cancer. Association is not causation. There's no proof that this vaccine works. The vaccine was only tested for 4 years before they put it on the market. Of course, cervical cancer does not show up in women until they're in their 40s, 50s, or 60s. So how is it you're going to give a 13-year-old, a 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old girl this vaccine and think that it's going to prevent something that happens to her 50 years later? And we've had a number of deaths with this vaccine. We've had some children who are developing long-term medical conditions, which we have no idea whether they're going to reverse. And so we're giving a vaccine which is totally useless, which has no proof that it has any efficacy, and has solid proof that it is harmful. And yet people are sacrificing their young daughters to the vaccine gods. I find that, right now I'm living in Mexico, and in Mexico they say the Aztecs used to sacrifice people to the gods. And so I think here in North America we are sacrificing our children to the vaccine gods, and I'd like to see a change because I think it's quite primitive.